Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
And yesterday, the DC Council voted 9-4 to pass a universal paid leave amendment. This basically gives 8 weeks of paid leave for the birth or adoption of a child and 6 weeks of paid leave to care for a sick family member. And the money to give you that paid leave if you work in the district will come from a tax, a brand new tax that businesses will fund. Joining us right now is Ed Lazier. He is the Executive Director for the Fiscal Policy Institute here in the district. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It seems to me that, according to many of the council members who were either reluctant to vote for it and chose to vote yes anyway, or those that voted against it, their biggest concern was the fact that the majority of people who will benefit from this aren't D.C. residents. They live in Maryland or Virginia. Why should businesses in the district be mandated to pay a tax that funds this very generous benefit for people who don't even live in Washington?
Well, the first thing I would say is I just look at it a little bit differently. And when you look at D.C. residents and how many of them are working and where they work, most of them who are working are in D.C. So if the goal is to help D.C. residents have paid leave when they need to be with a baby or with an ill relative, this is going to make sure that most D.C. residents have paid family leave. The fact that non-residents also will benefit, it's just a fact that any workplace law we have in the city is going to affect non-residents because, as you know, right now people are driving from Maryland and Virginia or taking Metro into D.C. to work. We have a community where lots of people from the suburbs work in the city. It doesn't seem to make sense to never do anything that we think is good for D.C. workplaces simply because non-residents would benefit.
But it comes down to it. How do you pay for it? I mean, you passed a $250 million tax increase. $250 million. Last time I checked, people aren't overflowing with money yet. I mean, how do you think that the voters going to understand when they get their tax bill even higher than it was last year? Do you think that's going to go over well?
So this is a tax on businesses, and I'm a business myself, so I will be paying the tax. And just, I do think it's important to put it in context. So the tax will amount to, for somebody making $50,000 a year, it will add $310 to that business's expenses. So not nothing, but certainly not something that should turn a profitable business into an unprofitable one. And it's also important to note that all of that money is not going to help pay for roads or bureaucrats or whatever you might be concerned about. It's actually going to pay for benefits that company's workers will benefit from. So we've heard through this campaign from lots and lots of small businesses who said, this is a relatively modest tax that's going to provide a substantial benefit to my workers that I otherwise couldn't provide and actually strengthen my business because I know that people will be productive when they're on the job, they'll be with their family when they need to be, and then they're going to come back. I won't have turnover. I won't have to hire and train new people. So I just think, when you say $250 million, that sounds huge, but when you note that we have an economy of $130 billion, $250 million actually isn't really much at all.
Well, I don't know many people in Washington, D.C. who are living and making it on $50,000 a year, but let's set that aside.
Oh, a lot are. Most are, in fact. The median family in D.C., that's about, I don't know the figures,
but that's not where,
like,
the
almost half of D.C.
But that's not where the $250 million is going to be coming from. This is going to be really made up on the taxes on all of the very high wage earners who are working in Washington, D.C. By the way, most of them are working for companies who do offer paid family leave.
Well, and now those businesses will be able to shift from their system to the city-funded system.
And see, that's the interesting thing. You just said, you know, you're a business owner. Okay, so when the government forces more expenses on you as a business owner, you make it up somehow. You either raise the price of your goods or services, or you reduce the current benefits that you're giving your employees, right? So aren't people going to end up either paying more for goods and services to pay for this, or employees are going to lose benefits in one way or another?
You know, I think anyone who like listens to Freakonomics understands that what sounds like classic economic theory should be right. It doesn't often play out. So first of all, to give you an example for me, I have $1 million budget. We're not a big organization, $1 million. The tax is going to be $4,000 for me. I actually don't think it's going to force me to change my behavior at all. There's all sorts of things in my budget each year that go up or down by that amount. But I think the more important thing to note is that anytime you ask businesses what's going to happen when a government regulation adds to their costs, they reasonably say, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to cut back people. But in the end, they need those people to make their business successful. So study after study after study, particularly of things like the minimum wage, show that even though employers predict that they will cut workers, that they don't.
But if businesses need this, if businesses need this benefit to keep good employees, they would be providing it right now. Otherwise, those employees would go to a business that does provide it.
Well, you know, I think we see in our economy there are, you know, what we sometimes call low road and high road employers. There are employers who don't pay very much and don't have much benefit, don't put a lot into training, and they just expect a lot of turnover, and they make money. And then there are businesses that, like Costco on the other side, that pay their workers well, put a lot of money into training, expect their workers to stay, and they make money too. So providing paid family leave is in some ways just helping ensure that more businesses are following that high road. Not that they won't be profitable, they'll just be profitable in a different way. Because it's one thing that I haven't said is, and it hasn't really come up in the debate, it's got to be the case that lots more people are going to want to work in the district now than before, and that the pool of qualified workers for businesses is going to get better. Because why wouldn't you want to live in D.C. if you're thinking about having a family, knowing that you could get paid leave benefits that you can't get from a job in the suburbs?
But if the business cannot survive in D.C. and they go, you know what, it would be a lot cheaper for me to move to Virginia, Maryland, or any other state that's real close by, why would I do that? I mean, we've always found that states with the highest amount of taxes don't always mean well for business.
I actually think that's not true. I think what
Tennessee, what Texas, Florida. What
the research really shows is that the places that are able to attract the best workers, and of course we know that the Washington region is not Texas or Florida. We need highly skilled workers with advanced educations. The things that draw.
Did you just insult, by the way?
No.
Did you just insult that there's not highly skilled workers in those other states that are no income tax states?
No, I wasn't insulting them. I'm just saying D.C. is much more of a knowledge-based economy than other places that have more manufacturing economy. I don't think that's an insult.
Nothing insulting about
no,
that.
No, nothing at all.
All right.
It's a fact that more people in D.C. have college education than other places.
And those are the ones that are making $50,000 a year right now?
And
that don't
work
get these
for
benefits.
The government.
Again,
the
your arguments are sort of circling each other, aren't they?
No, I don't think so. I mean, my point, you didn't let me finish, is that things that improve the quality of life, like access to charter schools, like good parks and libraries. I know in my D.C. neighborhood, there are so many people who are staying because they have a good charter school to go to, who wouldn't be here if they didn't. So that's a public investment in a public good, a quality of life that keeps people in the city. And I think that if you know that going to your job, you're going to have benefits that you wouldn't get in the suburbs, that's going to want to make you stay at that job and work in the district. And so I actually don't see, I mean, again, okay. The research shows businesses don't tend to cut off workers when they have added expenses in the range of this kind.
Quick question. Right now, if you have an adoption or the birth of a child, you get 8 weeks of paid leave under this law. Is there anything, any provision in the law that that prevents somebody from taking those 8 weeks of paid leave and then at the end of the 8 weeks of paid leave deciding that they're not going to come back to that job?
I mean, you know, it's the same for any benefit you have, right? If you have vacation leave or sick leave or temporary disability from your job, you can, and then you take it off, you can leave at the end. For sure, that's true of any benefit that you have.
Well, but the difference is this is a benefit that is funded solely by the businesses who then get affected by having that person not return. And, you know, there are a lot of businesses. You mentioned Costco. I'm thinking that some of the businesses that are in retail, they would really not want to have to fill in a temporary worker for those 8 weeks. And then what happens to that temporary worker after they come in to fill in the person's slot for 8 weeks?
I don't know. You know, I'm not a business executive. I don't know the industry well. But my sense is retail workers' hours shift a lot from week to week. So if you lose one person for whatever reason, you don't necessarily have to hire a temp person. You can just increase the hours of your other part-time employees. I don't know if that's a fact, but that seems logical to me. It seems like what I would do if I had part-time employees.
If someone's gone for 8 weeks, you wouldn't actually hire someone to replace them. You would just shift your schedules around.
I mean, if I'm a part-time employer and I've got someone working 20 hours a week who then takes off 8 weeks, I could easily,
This applies to part-time employees?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's lots of people who work who want full-time jobs who can't get them. Why shouldn't they have paid leave as well?
All right. It's interesting. By the way, one quick note, and we're spending a lot of time on this, but I do want Mayor Bowser has said she will not put her name on this. That doesn't mean she's going to veto it. Will this go through if she doesn't?
Well, you know, even if she does veto it, 9 people voted for it. So if it came up for a veto vote, that's not enough to override a veto. So I don't know what she's planning to do. But it's what's known as a veto-proof majority.
Interesting. But then it's hotly contested. We'll see if that number could change if she does veto it. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a lively conversation. We love having those here. Ed Lazier of the Fiscal Policy Institute.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.